Just to give you a heads up, one of us is bound to say something not suitable for little ears. It is, after all, the 1 hour a day I spend away from my children. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, October 7th, the Bad Behavior Edition. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog, Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom to three littles, Henry, who's 9, Oliver, who's 7, and Teddy, who turns 5 today.
Oh my God. So, Happy birthday, Teddy.
Happy birthday.
My littlest one is 5. It's crazy. But we live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
And I'm Eamon Ismail. I do not have as many credentials, but I do have a baby of my own. He is 3 months still. That's pretty much my deal. I'm a staff writer at Slate Magazine, and I live in Newark, New Jersey.
My name is Jamila Lemieux. I'm a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and somewhat credentialed mother to Naima, who is 8, and we live in Los Angeles.
Well, on today's show, we're answering a question from a parent who wonders how she should be addressing her son's recently bad behavior. Then we'll give some advice to a listener whose 16-year-old hasn't adjusted well to her mother's boyfriend. What can she do to help her daughter feel supported while also maintaining her own relationship with her partner? And on Slate Plus, as we wind down from summer and get ready to spend more time indoors with our families, we're discussing our current favorite movie picks that are kid-friendly but enjoyable for us as adults, too. But first, we have a listener update. This week, we heard from a listener who wrote in.
Hi, Mom and Dad. I sent in a question around 6 months ago where my kids kept saying dibble-dee from the show Grizzly and the Lemmings. It was driving me nuts and they wouldn't stop. I basically just waited it out. After a few months, it fizzled. Now they barely say it. Now my kids love to talk about poop, which somehow bothers me less. I'll address that one with my therapist. Thanks for the show.
Well, we're excited to hear that the dibble-dee-dees have stopped and you've graduated to the golden era of poop conversation. But thanks for writing in and letting us know. We're celebrating this victory with you, and we always love to hear your updates. So if we've given you advice, good, bad, or in between, please let us know. All right, so now it's time to kick off the show with our favorite triumphs and fails. So, Eamon, do you want to start this week? Do you have a triumph or a fail?
Yeah. I kind of want to update from the last week, too, if that's okay.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Last week, I was like at the brink. I was crying for help in as many ways as I can. I was basically describing how tired I was and how I felt like the sleep deprivation was finally catching up and taking its toll. And the recommendation from Jamila, wonderful advice, was to go get help and to basically seek out like a therapist. So I took that advice. I went and I talked to some people first to try and like find who the right therapist would be. Obviously, they'd have to be a parent themselves. If they're a dad, even better, not necessary. But So I sort of went down that path a little bit. I haven't found the right person yet, but I am trying to. But on that note, it's been amazing since then because I've gotten all these different messages and emails from listeners who listened to the show and sent me these really, really kind and supportive emails and Instagram messages and Twitter DMs. And I've been overwhelmed. It's been just the support, just knowing that some people out there can relate and understand where I'm coming from, moms and dads. It's really amazing how we can stop fighting for a minute and just come together and figure it out and show support. So I've been just smitten and I feel better already. The work hasn't gotten that much easier. He's still waking up every hour to get fed, or even now his new thing is he'll want to be swung around in my arms a little bit before I put him down. That's fine. I'm happy to do it. But the support has been incredible. And on that note, I've also started to reach out to some of my friends who I know are dads. And just to basically air out my concerns and talk about what I'm going through. And they're always, what I found 100% of the time, are always happy to commiserate and share what they've been struggling through. And just that community has been, I can't even describe it. It's been so good. So that's my big triumph, I'd say.
Well, that's amazing. I also want to say that while you were talking, Musa spit up and you like just with the confidence of not a first time parent, you just like
handled
took
it.
Care of it, put him on your back with nothing. I mean, it was, I'm like, that was amazing. If I saw you out in the wild, I wouldn't have thought it was your first. But I wasn't here last week, but I listened to the episode. And I think it's so wonderful that you shared, because I mean, I think this is something we all need to be talking about, because it is such a hard time. But specifically sharing, like, as a dad, like, what you're experiencing, because so often, like, this conversation is held between, like, tired moms on the playground or at work or at, you know, places where they're congregating and kind of barely making it through sometimes. So I'm glad that you shared, and also that our wonderful listeners reached out to you. Mm. I think too, in my experience, like, it comes in waves too. Like, it'll start to feel manageable, and then all of a sudden it's completely unmanageable again. And that's why I think taking the time to find someone to have on your team, like Jamila suggested, is so good, because you may feel like you get it under control for a couple weeks, you know, and then everything changes.
Yeah. To everyone who reached out, thank you. I can't begin to tell you how helpful it was to see your messages. I do admit I didn't respond to a single person yet, but I want to. I'm going to.
I suspect that anyone reaching out doesn't want to take your time.
Yep.
So do not feel that you have to, certainly if you want to, right? But I think that anyone who reached out and said, I feel for you, or I'm here, knows that what you're really lacking is time.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be like, I heard you, I appreciate it, tap the little heart and
yep,
and keep going.
So dope.
Tapping hearts will save your life.
I think especially other parents, we all just know, like, yeah, like that, good, great.
Thanks.
Like, yeah, you've read it and I appreciate the time that you took to read that, you know. No response necessary.
Aww.
Jamila, what do you have for us?
Nothing too major, but a friend from school. She's actually a woman I went to school with. We were high and by in college. She is my sorority sister, and she's friends with some of my mutual friends. We didn't know each other well back in school. She has a daughter who's a year older than Naima, and they live out here. And I'd hung out with the mom a couple of times. But, you know, it's not always easy for me to, like, just making plans, period. You know, there's always a reason to not make plans. You know, and then coordinating play dates and new hangs can be so anxiety inducing. It's one thing for me, because it's like, okay, if I go out with somebody, we don't have a great time, it's fine. I'm an adult, I can handle that. For a kid, it's a whole different thing, you know. And so when we've been so picky and, you know, safe and socially distanced for these past couple of years, that Naima really hasn't had very many opportunities to hang with another kid outside of school, aside from her brother. So we took the kids out and went to a little street festival thing and went to eat, and they had a blast, and Naima made a new friend. And I'm so happy I didn't, like, put it off forever, like I'm often want to do. And the thing is, I like the mom a lot. Like, I'm like, this is great. We're all girls. Like, this is perfect. You know, like, there's mm-hmm. stuff we can do. Like, this is awesome. So it was just a matter of, like, us both getting it together. Like, okay, we're finally going to do this thing. And they just had so much fun. And they gnawed, like, Naima can put down chicken like no one else. And she might have met her match. And these girls gnawed on these. There was nothing left on these chicken bones. Nothing. The waiter came, was trying to take plates, and they're like, no. I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. It was great.
That's awesome.
That's so cute.
So often it's, like, hard. I think of, like, isn't one of Newton's laws, like, getting something in motion is so hard, right?
Yep.
And I feel like as people, that's so true. Like, getting out the door and just, like, going and doing something new, right? Like, even though your friends are, but going to do this is so hard. And then you get there and you think, like, why didn't I do this?
You could have done this weeks and weeks ago. This would have solved problems. I've already offered to babysit. I'm like, drop her off. This is great. She actually will come babysit.
I know. Sometimes it's with two, sometimes it's, like, better. Like, they are just going to play, and then you don't have to be involved. You're just, like, putting out snacks. Yeah.
Yes.
Good to know.
I'm like, you are the baby. You're the sitter.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull that with my brother and be like, oh, I heard two is better than one. Take care of Musa.
Yeah. Even when they're babies, you, like, lay them on the floor next to each other. You're like, oh, play date. Look at them socializing.
I have an older, and, like, well, me being the baby of the family, I think, makes this easier. But I have a nephew who's only 5 months older than Naima. And I definitely, when I come to Chicago, can be like, here you go.
Yeah.
Peace.
Have fun.
I think even with more, like, we are with another family that has kids the same age as as us all the time, because it's honestly the six kids is sometimes easier than the three, because they're all like paired off doing their own thing. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's total chaos, but sometimes it's definitely better. Well, I think that's so great. Well, I am going to share a fail and then like a very cute story from my week that is neither a triumph or fail, just a cute story. But my fail is that, okay, so today is Teddy's birthday and I have just kind of completely neglected the day. Not that I didn't see it coming. Not that I've done no planning. And if you know me or listen frequently, you know, I'm usually like planning out things that even if we don't make like a huge deal, I usually kind of like have a plan. I just feel like I could not really, I don't know if I'm like repressing that my little one is five or what's happening. But anyway, I just basically did very little. I felt like he doesn't really need a whole lot of gifts because he's the youngest of three. And we gave kind of our good ideas to grandparents and a couple of friends that asked. So I haven't really gotten him anything. We normally do kind of like something they really want and then like some kind of experience. Our lives are a little busy here, so we haven't really planned that experience. And I keep saying like, well, my parents are coming in a couple of weeks. We'll do something when they come. So I've sort of like pushed it off. But then last night, I had this book I wanted to finish. And I'm like laying in bed and he is like talking about this puppy cake that he wants. And I'm thinking like, we definitely did not do a puppy cake. So Jeff's like, well, I'll go downstairs and make the cake. And then you can like frost it sometime today. I'm like, okay, great. And then as I'm kind of laying down to finish this book, Henry is like, are you going to get out like the birthday banner and the streamers and all the stuff that we normally do? And I was like, oh gosh.
Oh man.
So I literally laid in bed and finished my book. And then at like 11:30 or 12, I got up, I came downstairs, I got out the birthday banner. I took that like blue painter's tape and just like taped it to the wall. 20 minutes later, I hear it fall. And I'm just like, whatever.
Of course.
I took the yellow streamers and I just like threw them around. I blew up a couple balloons, put it in my room. Now listen, he does not care. He woke up this morning. He thought this was like great.
Aww.
He goes to this cooperative preschool. And so the parents help out on a rotation. And so on your kid's birthday, you come. And the thing he had sort of asked was like, will both you and dad come? Because we usually split that responsibility. Like one of us does that. So we had already made the arrangement. So both of us would be there today. He hid under the table while his class sung him happy birthday. Like, you know, I feel like the day is fine, but I feel so guilty that because he's the third, you know, I was always like, oh, I'm going to do the same for everyone. But I'm just like, it's not like I'm like meh. It's like a big deal to me that he's turning five, but I just basically like threw it together and he doesn't care, but I feel bad. So that's my fail is like like my own personal mom.
It only counts if the kids can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was going to say, yeah, if they don't care, you shouldn't either.
I know, it should be totally fine. Okay, but here's my very, very sweet story that of something the three boys did for me. I was out from recording last week because I had this very minor surgery and I had to be sedated. And so the whole day was kind of like a blur and I get home and Jeff was home taking care of all the stuff. But then he had an evening engagement that he could not get out of. So he heads out. We ordered pizza. So it was like a very simple evening. All I had to do was like pizza and get the kids to bed. And the procedure was kind of on my leg. So I just wasn't like getting around very well. So anyway, we ate pizza. The kids like took the pizza boxes out and threw them away. So sweet. And then I was like, okay, well, we need to get to bed. I really need you guys to help. And they're like, well, we don't want to leave you. Can we just sleep in your room? And I'm like, yeah, but you can't sleep in the bed because if I get kicked, you know, like I have this dressing on my... So they brought all their pillows and they set up three little beds in different corners of the room. And I turned out the lights and I turned on a podcast and I was like, well, I'll listen. And then they asked me to turn off the podcast so they could each sing me a song that they're learning, like at school or they're doing. And they went around and they each sang a little song and it was just like so sweet and caring. And then they just laid down and went to bed. It was like the easiest.
Aww.
Will you sing me the turtle song one more time?
Okay. Yeah. Sing it. I had a little turtle. I named him Tiny Tim. I put him in the bathtub to see if he could swim, but he drank up all the water, he ate up all the soap, and now he's sick in bed with bubbles in his throat. Hiccup!
Snow-covered peaks in the distance, pine trees cover the land. A dirt trail to nowhere with friends on either hand.
What in the Mary Poppins is that?
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely not a triumph because I have nothing to do with that. We were blessed with like good behavior or some empathy or something, but they were just the absolute sweetest. But I just felt like in this one moment, like, wow, these are really like good kids who are doing such a nice thing for me. So that was very nice.
That's so sweet.
That is so sweet.
Well, thank you for small victories, right? But before we move on, it's now time to take care of some business. First, please subscribe to the show. It helps us out and the show will automatically show up in your feed. So it's good for you and for us. And if you want even more of our show, you should become a Slate Plus member. You'll get a whole bonus segment every single week. Here's a sneak peek of what you could hear today about our favorite family movies as of late.
I know that we are going to be watching RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars very soon, even though it's already aired. And I think that season might be completed. And our girl was not the winner, Trinity K. Bonet, who Naima stands. We're still looking forward to seeing it. I don't think she knows Trinity didn't win yet. So I'm going to try to keep that from her. Oh, and Paramount Plus has a new edition story. So we're going to be watching the new edition story. Naima hasn't seen it in, wow, it's been a while. So that's a big deal.
Not only will you get fun extra segments like that, but you'll even get bonus episodes of shows like Culture Gab Fest and Big Mood, Little Mood, and you get unlimited reading on the Slate website without ever hitting a paywall again. So if you want to support us and support Slate, sign up for Slate Plus. It's just $1 for the first month. Just go to slate.com/momanddadplus. Slate's parenting newsletter is the best place to be notified for all our parenting content, including Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Care and Feeding, and much more. Get all of Slate's parenting content right in your inbox every week. Sign up at slate.com/parenting email. But first, let's take a quick break.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, Care and Feeding listeners, it's me, Lucy Lopez. What do ASMR, AI chatbots, and diet culture all have in common? They are all topics explored on Embodied, the Ambi Award-winning weekly podcast from WUNC, North Carolina Public Radio. Each week, acclaimed reporter Anita Rao holds up her journalistic lens to all kinds of things that are sometimes hard to talk about, like sex, health, and relationships. Embodied dives into what some consider taboo to answer important questions about our bodies and our society. Nothing's off limits. Hear from expert guests, including doctors, historians, and psychologists, as they break down everything from the dynamics of egg donation, how couples combat mental health struggles like schizophrenia and OCD, and the profits and pitfalls of the self-care industry. If you need a place to start, I highly recommend checking out the recent episode where Anita interviewed two couples who continued to choose each other after one partner came out as trans. So go ahead, follow Embodied and get new episodes every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. All right, on to our first listener question. It's being read, as always, by the fantastic Shasha Leonard.
Hi, Mom and Dad. I'm a single mom of two boys who just turned 7 and 5. Lately, the 5-year-old has been getting into trouble at school. He says no a lot, won't follow instructions, and is becoming a distraction in class. Last week, he got a warning about his behavior from after-school care, so I threatened to take away swim lessons that week if he got into trouble again. The next day, he was great. But this week, he got into trouble again at school. Apparently, he hit his teacher 4 times and held 2 different students by their arms and wouldn't let go, among other assorted unacceptable behaviors. I'm at a loss. I'm a teacher myself, so I don't have the ability to take time off if he's suspended. I need a consequence that matches the behavior, but doesn't impact my ability to work. Plus, I don't really think a suspension would mean anything to him anyways. I'm thinking of withholding swim lessons like I threatened last week. But will that really address the behavior? It might work in the short term. But how do I teach him to improve the behavior in the long run?
You know, I'm curious to know if this behavior is completely out of the norm or is perhaps an exaggerated version of your son's usual behavior, if that makes sense. You know, like, is he prone to outbursts and, you know, getting physical when he gets upset, or does this seem to be coming from left field? I think you, beyond figuring out how to address the behaviors when they happen, you want to try to figure out why this sort of thing is happening. Most kids are not going to put their hands on a teacher. And that's not to say that it's necessarily a sign of something tremendously wrong or super serious, but that is a boundary that, you know, even children that are examining boundaries, which your five-year-old would be doing, that few of them will cross because they understand that they're not supposed to put their hands on adults. And even if they perhaps will put their hands on their parents, putting their hands on their teacher indicates a level of comfort with, I guess, that sort of behavior that's, I would say, a bit different than the average kid at this point. But again, it doesn't mean that, you know, you need to go into crisis mode. What kind of conversations are you having with him about these things? You know, what was happening that led to this altercation? You know, is it that he feels like he's not being heard at school? Is he struggling to communicate himself to his teacher and his classmates? Is he being teased? What's up? I think you need to work with the teacher to get as clear a picture as possible of what's going on in the classroom. You know, I understand that suspension, which is something that could happen in a lot of schools, that could have happened with the first incident because he put his hands on his teacher. You know, I realize that something like that might not mean anything to him, but like, before we get there, you know what I mean? I just feel like, don't rush to suspension. Like, what does mean something to him? You know, when have you been effective in getting him to change his behaviors, or to, you know, if it's putting a toilet seat up or, you know, finishing his vegetables, is there something that you have successfully gotten him to at least adhere to more often than not? Right? Swim lessons are tricky because it may be something he really looks forward to, but it's also a life skill. So ideally, we're all getting our kids taught how to swim by a certain age, especially if you think there's a chance that he'll be near bodies of water. So taking away him learning something isn't really ideal. But if it's the only shiny thing that he has right now that you can say, I know you're really looking forward to this and this feels like a privilege, you know, then that might be the thing. But again, focus on getting him to understand what he's doing wrong. You know, I think that's bigger than being punitive, right? That's bigger than taking away toys or candy. It's like, do you or don't you understand that you are not to put your hands on other people when you get frustrated? Do you or do you not understand when, you know, someone tells you, get your hands off of her, that is an immediate command to be followed, not something to think about or for you to keep doing until a stronger teacher comes along and pulls you off of them? I would focus less on punishments at this point and really getting to the heart of your son's behavior. What do you all think?
I think that's on the money. I think you're absolutely right. I'm hung up on this detail that, you know, this happened like four times. And maybe this might just be my own thinking of how I was at that age. Not 5 years old, but like older than that. But I was always expecting a certain reaction from either the parents or the teacher. And so when I was acting out, I almost did so after doing the math, thinking, I just want to do this. I don't care if I get in trouble. So maybe to Jamila's point, it's better to just forego whatever you think is going to be like the appropriate response, and maybe just actually getting to the bottom of what is happening. Why does this person need this kind of attention?
Yeah, I think five is still so little. Like, 5 to me, particularly with some kids, is still very like emotionally not, you know, like they're not ready for a lot of this stuff. Jamil, I absolutely agree that this is the age at which we are definitely teaching this, like, we do not touch people, we do not hit people, we do not like that, but we are teaching it still, I think, at 5. I guess I'm a little confused too, like what has happened, because I agree with you that I think like repeatedly hitting the teacher to me seems to suggest that there's something going on. Like, what feedback is he getting from the teacher? Have there been discussions about what the appropriate behavior is? But to me, a 5-year-old that is acting this way is a child asking for help. They're either asking for help because they are having bad feelings and don't know what to do about that. Do they feel like the work that's being presented, or asking to, you know, sit for that long, or whatever the situation is something they can't do? They may act out. Now, the acting out isn't right, and it definitely needs to be dealt with, I think. But I also think taking a step back and saying, like, why is my 5-year-old hitting someone? And the question is, which Jamila, you asked right away, is like, have they always been a hitter and we just haven't conquered that? Or is the hitting new? And I think those are two very different scenarios, right? If they've always been a hitter and we still haven't been able to deal with it, that's something. Then if all of a sudden the hitting behavior, like they always seem to understand that they couldn't hit and now they're hitting, like figuring out what the root of that problem is. I guess I really want to say, please don't take away the swim lessons, because I think what happens is that you have this child that is clearly struggling to control their body. And if you take away this physical thing that they enjoy, what's kind of left for them? And I just wonder if you're better off devising some kind of positive reward system and then checking in with the teacher more frequently. So asking the teacher, like, I need to understand even little infractions as well as something positive each day, so that I can be talking to my student at home and saying, like, hey, today, you know, I heard you did this great thing and we had no trouble. Like, you were able to keep your hands to yourself. I love that. Here's a pom-pom in this jar, or here's this. And when the jar gets full, there is this reward. And the reward is, like, of course, could be something monetary, but it also be like, we do a family movie night, or we cook this meal you really like, or you get to pick this, or you get video game time, you know, whatever works for your child. I have just found that punishments just become things like, once you take away the swim lessons, now he's like, well, I've got nothing. You know, there's nothing else to take away. Or like, okay, well, I just don't get to do anything fun. I also think it can create this inner dialogue of like, I'm just a bad kid. And we're not talking about an older child who necessarily can understand all of this. A 5-year-old is still learning that we can't, you know, be behaving this way, and how do we behave in these situations? So I think if there's a way to reward the positive and then be doing that really frequently, so that he's definitely getting some pom-poms, and on those days that you don't get them, you can discuss, like, well, we didn't get one today because you grabbed whoever, and we keep our hands to ourselves. I also find with my kids who have been very physical, reminding them of my expectations frequently. So right before I drop off at school, reminding them, like, hey, remember that we need to keep our hands to ourselves. This is why it's important. You know, like, we don't grab friends. We don't, whatever that expectation is, letting them know clearly and giving them that reminder. And I think also just making sure they know that they are loved, right? Like, even though we're struggling with this and it's frustrating, I still very much love you and I want to understand what's going on. To me, it's also different. Like, is he just running up and hitting people and grabbing people? Or is, like, he's grabbing people because he wants to play with them and doesn't know how to get in to this situation, right? Like, there's a way to coach that behavior. Is he grabbing people because they don't want to do what he wants to do? Like, all of those to me are very different coaching situations. I think the other thing is that if you feel like it's getting out of control, I would bring in a school counselor or another professional. Your child cannot be the only 5-year-old who has had a trouble keeping his hands to himself at school. And so I think even though you are also a teacher asking for help in this situation, like, how can we devise a system for this student to succeed and learn these rules? But I read this and I thought, please don't take away these swim lessons. Like, I understand that it worked once, but if it's something that he really likes and it's something that gets out energy, I just, it's hard for me to imagine a situation where taking that away in the long run benefits him somehow.
Great.
Yeah. I when I was like 9 years old, I was part of this after school basketball program where they basically left the gym open so that anybody can go and hang out afterwards. And my mom would frequently use that as punishment to say, well, if you got like a bad grade, you wouldn't be allowed to go play basketball with your friends. And I was so affected by this in a bad way. And you're absolutely right that there would be like this inner dialogue being like, well, I'm a bad kid. You took away my favorite thing. Now I don't have anything to lose. And that can really put you in a weird place where you're sort of antagonizing your child when they need your love and your attention most, you know? So I would definitely agree with everybody. I think we all agree that you definitely do not use the swim lessons as a bartering chip. That I think if anything, more physical activity can only help at this stage.
Well, thank you so much for writing in. If you have an update at some point, please let us know, as we love to get your updates and know how it's going. If you want us to attempt to answer your parenting questions, you can email us at momanddad@slate.com. We're going to take a quick break. All right, back to the show. Now we're on to our second listener question. Take it away, Shasha.
Dear Mom and Dad, I'm really hoping to get some nuanced advice on how to deal with the situation I am sure I could be handling better. I have been dating my boyfriend for 3 years, and he would love to have a relationship with my almost 16-year-old daughter, who lives with me. But she is not having it. She and I have 2 nights a week, and often a weekday, just for the two of us. But she complains that I spend more time with him than I do her. I feel like this should not be a competition. She is my daughter, and he is my partner. My daughter's father lives close by, too, and he and my daughter have been spending more time together recently, which is great, but he does not have space in his apartment for her to ever stay over. How can I make this situation work best? We would love to include her in more things, but her attitude is either that she has me all to herself or nothing at all.
So I have a question. If you have 2 nights a week and 1 weekend day, or often a weekend day, for just the two of you, then does he have you more than she does? What's going on the other days of the week? Because you said that she's spending more time with her father than usual, which means usually she has been spending the majority of those days where? And her father doesn't get her overnight. So if you are dedicating 2 weeknights, so if Monday and Wednesday and sometimes Saturday are hers, when are you seeing this man? What's going on, sis? As the captain of team Mama Gotta Have a Life Too, I hope that this is just an oversight, because I'm wondering if maybe she is seeing you spend a lot of time with this man. And like, if you're the primary, you're the custodial parent, so the man is just at the house. Like, what's, there's a lot that we don't know, but it sounds to me, I'm just going to infer that maybe you're spending a lot of time with this guy, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it doesn't sound like your daughter is not there when this time is being spent. And I hope, again, I just hope I'm reading this wrong. Like, I'm getting hung up on this, but I'm like, are you not, like, is he just always in the house and your daughter wants to not have him there? You know, like, I could see if of the 7 days in a week, he was coming by 2 of them, sometimes a third. But if it's the other way around, then I think your daughter might be completely justified in the way that she's feeling. And also, like, I don't know how long you've been a single parent. I'm a single parent since birth. But whether this is something your daughter is only known or something she's known for a few years, she does think of you as an ostensibly only child, as all her own, in a way that children who live in the house with other kids and oftentimes who live with other adults don't think of their parents, their mothers, in the same way. There is a mommy is all mine thing that happens when you are the only child to a single mother.
Right. Like you're saying that if they had been just the two of them for a while.
Yeah.
And now the last 3 years, there's been this boyfriend.
Now there's been this boyfriend. And I'm wondering,
yeah,
what happened at the beginning?
Ooh.
Right. Like he wants to spend time together. But like, was it simply the different what changed in her life when he came around? Because it sounds like perhaps he's been integrated into your life for 3 years, but he hasn't been integrated into her life for 3 years. And while I totally think you should wait a significant amount of time before you bring somebody around your kids and a significant amount of time before you integrate them into their weekly lives, it sounds like this man is taking up a lot of your time and space. And it's not that she only deserves to have you by herself, but if she's getting more time where he's present than she is time where he isn't, or maybe you just have things going on after work those other days of the week. I
was struck by the strangeness, and I want you to comment on this because you sort of hit on it, like about the 3 year relationship, but still there's no relationship with the 16-year-old. Like, because it's not a child, right? Like, I understand needing to wait to introduce someone, but it also seems like 16, so what? 13, 14? Like,
when did y'all get serious? Like, casual
dating?
Isn't
that old enough to at least, like, your 13-year-old knows you're going on a date. It's not like a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old or a 4-year-old that you're, like, getting a babysitter. So it struck me as strange that, like, after 3 years, there's still no relationship.
Like, at the point in which he was your boyfriend, I don't know. It just, especially if he's consuming as much time of yours as it seems, like, I'm just wondering, did you all start with going to the movies and dinner together, or did you try to sneak that in later? You know, like there should, by this point, you all should be doing things together on a regular basis. You know, that's how you introduce someone to your child, not just having him at the house hanging out with you, but like, we are going to the movies. We are going to the mall. We are going to have dinner. You know, we are going to go get to know each other. You know, do they know each other? I mean, it's six.
Because this is like a new family. I mean, to me, 3 years, right? Like you, this is a.
It could be. I mean, I guess like, did you date casually for 2 years? And then in year three, it got a little bit more serious, which I could understand you saying, yes, I've been dating this person for 3 years. So maybe two of those years were long distance. You know, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
But whatever it is, it sounds like at the point in which you realize that this is a significant relationship, significant enough that you were carving him into your schedule in a meaningful way, then there was some carving into her schedule that was supposed to happen. You know, like you, I know it's harder to require this of a 16-year-old than it is a 13-year-old, but like you all need to do some stuff together, you know? And like, and it doesn't need to interrupt the time that she has with you. If she's getting two nights and a third day with you, that needs to stay the same way. And so if it's those other 4 days where usually maybe you and him are watching, you know, Netflix while she texts in her room and soaks around, like that needs to stop, you know, like this needs to be time in which you all are engaging with one another. Buy some board games.
Have family meals.
Yeah.
Jamila, how important is it to you or will it be to you that Naima likes or feels engaged with, you know, with a person
very
that you're with?
Very, 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 very important. Naima has met a boyfriend. So when I was dating, I dated for about 2 years, a couple of years ago. And, you know, he was long distance, so she didn't see him a lot. But, you know, I felt confident that they would get along, and they did. I just would not want her to ever be uncomfortable in her own home because I brought somebody there, you know, for my purposes. And like, here's the thing. One, a man can have a role in your life and not in your child's life, right? Like I've dated a lot of men since I've had Naima, but you know, these were not necessarily, like these weren't serious relationships. And even some of them that were, you know, perhaps they could have gotten serious and they just didn't, they weren't angled toward, or like, What I'm trying to say is there have been men in my life who were there for me, and that was their purpose. And I did not have an interest in bringing them into Naima's life. But it could never be the case that somebody whose purpose in my life was all about me could take away from Naima's experiences. And so I don't know if you saw this as a boyfriend or a stepfather, right? And like, those are not necessarily the same, because there are guys who I'm like, yeah, he could be my boyfriend. I'd love to, you know, we could be boyfriend, girlfriend and have a great time, but I would not want them to be a step parent to my child. But this person has enough of a presence in your life. The difference being that, of course, my daughter would not be aware of such a person, you know?
Yeah. Like, he's not like sitting on your couch. Well, you're doing something else. You're like, don't worry about him.
He doesn't exist. He's whatever I do.
He's here for me. Don't worry about it.
Right. It's like, it's called what you do when your child's not around. And since you have integrated, like you have brought him in your life enough that she knows that he exists, then what does he offer for her? Are you potentially going to have more children? Do you wish to be married? Is he going to move in at some point? You know, and you mentioned that your daughter's father is spending more time with her lately, which is good, but he doesn't have space for her to stay over. I'm like, okay, but you trying to get her out the house? Which nothing is wrong with it. You know, nothing is wrong with that. But I'm counting these days. I'm just wondering about the unaccounted for days of the week. Because right now we've only got two and a possible third, and there's 7 days in a week.
I'm curious about this guy. And like, it says he wants a relationship. Like, is he doing anything to get, like, 16-year-olds are tough. You can't just be like, I want a relationship with you.
And did she just say no? And y'all were like, all right, cool.
Yeah. Like, you got to show, you got to be like, you need a ride, I'm going to give you a ride.
Right.
You need this, I'm going to do this. Like, what does she need that he can provide? Because right. That is like the transactional language of 16-year-olds. Right.
What has he came bearing gifts? Does he bring by pizza or Chinese food? Like, what does he
Or like, is she in some kind of sport? Can he go be a, you know, cheering her on? Or again, I think a ride, 16-year-old.
Build a bookshelf, be useful.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is this?
That's exactly the point I was going to make. It almost sounds like you're trying to do too much, right? Like, they have their own relationship, or they should have their own relationship. He should be trying to win her over. She's 16. You're not going to sit her down and convince her to like this guy because she has to. That's just not going to happen. It's not up to you. You have to let your partner know, or whoever this guy is, that he has to win her over somehow. He needs to have his own relationship with this person, this human being, yes. Not just an accessory to your life. So it almost sounds like it's not up to you.
I also wonder if these two nights a week and one weekend are just like, they're in the house together and that's like their alone time. Like, I guess I read this and I thought, like, you are not. So one, she's either just like 16 and just like, I don't like this guy, so I'm just going to say, I want you to myself, right? That's an easy way. But it also feels like maybe you're not pouring into her the way you used to or the way she needs. I know I've talked before about, I'm a big fan of like the love languages books, and that if you're not speaking the right love language, that everything you're doing is just sort
all
of
for not.
Wasted. Yeah, yeah. And so I wonder, like, are you speaking her love language? Because if what she wants are acts of service and she sees you giving him acts of service all the time, bringing him things and taking care of him, and you instead with her are giving her quality time or gifts or something else, she's not going to feel any of that. And she's going to see you speaking to this man in her love language. So is there some way that you can make sure that that time that you do have, that you've set aside for her, is like real time with her? These are things you do that you know she appreciates and that build your relationship as mother and daughter. And then I absolutely agree with everything you guys have said, that like, you have to be doing things as the three of you. Like, if your hope is that the three of you are going to be a unit, like, that's only going to happen if you do very normal, have meals together.
Yeah.
To have her be part of choosing the movie you're doing at home or the board game or going on the walk. You know, she's 16. I think her answer to most things is going to be like,
no,
I'm too cool.
Yeah.
So I'll go to her game, or I'll go to, you know, her thing, volunteer to chaperone something. I don't know. There's like a million ways to insert yourself into your 16-year-old's life. Mm-hmm. Do that with your partner. Because I'm just concerned that after 3 years, and they haven't developed a relationship and you haven't developed a relationship, like she's on her way out, you know, out foreseeably 18
yeah.
through 21, she's headed out, right? So if you don't do something, I just don't think you can live your life compartmental. Like, I have this partner that I do things with, and I have this child that I do things with, and we can't be a group. Like, that's terrible for you.
Especially since he's cutting into her time.
Yeah. That's not going to get better either. Doesn't. She has other stuff. I just, okay. We wish you good luck. We want you to be, I feel like, we've been hard on this woman, but I feel like we want you to be happy.
Yes.
And you're clearly not happy right now. And so you need to rearrange, reprioritize, and tell this guy that he has to put in the effort with your daughter. I mean, if she's hanging out with her dad, it's not like that she can't hang out with, you know, she's not in like a, ooh.
Right.
Like, I don't, you know.
And also, if she's spending more time with her dad than usual, I'm wondering, like, has dad's presence been inconsistent? Or, you know, like, if these are not overnight visits, then more than usual still means that this is, you know, these are day visits, which means there's a limit on the amount of time that they're getting together. And if that's something that has been inconsistent or, you know, only recently became frequent, just think about what you want her to know about love and relationships at this point, too, I guess. You know, she also is processing watching you maybe do something. I don't know. Has she watched you have boyfriend? Was there a boyfriend before him, you know, or is this the first time she's seen you interact with somebody? Did she see you with your ex or with her father? Or is this, you know, brand new? Are you fixing this man's plate? You know what I mean? Like, are you like, what kind of role yeah. do you play in this relationship in front of her? And is that the role that you want to play? Have you given her any context? You know, it may be confusing if you've only watched your mother care for you. Now, you know, somebody says he has a headache and she's running to the medicine cabinet and making tea. And it's kind of like, wait, this is the thing that mommy does for me. I didn't, you know, I don't necessarily understand this. I think it's entirely possible that this has been somewhat overwhelming to her, but in the interest of making it easier, perhaps thinking you're making it easier on her and really making it easier on yourself, maybe that's why you didn't integrate things sooner. You know, she didn't take an interest in him. You didn't want to push. Maybe it wasn't that serious yet, you know, and now it's like 3 years in, like, this is either a family or a relationship that you need to keep out of your household. Or we're working toward, I should say, we're either working toward becoming a family, you know, we're doing family-like things, or this is a relationship that you have to keep separate. Just like you may have that homegirl, that friend who, like, you know, maybe her humor's a little raunchy, doesn't blend so well with children. Just not somebody who necessarily, they don't have kids. They're just not the kid friend, right? That's still your friend, still someone you care about. And maybe you go have a drink with them every couple of months. Then this is, you know, if you all can't figure out a way to integrate this, then he needs to go to the sideline.
Basically, letter writer, we need more info. So please not only write in with an update, we really want to understand this situation.
I want to know the 16-year-old's really, perspective. Have her write the next letter.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. We would like to hear from the 16-year-old. We want to know what she means when she, like, says that it's... that there's no time for her, no space for her in this place. But we're so thankful that you wrote in. And if you have an update, please, please, please share that with us or a clarification. We're always happy for those. To the rest of our listeners, are you looking for some amazing parenting advice? That's literally our job. So please email us at momanddad@slate.com. All right. Well, now is the time where we give you recommendations for things that we're enjoying. So, Amon, will you please start us off?
Sure. I would love to recommend potato chip bags, especially for three-month-olds. It's insane. It's insane how much time my baby can spend just like with a little crumply bag going nuts. Obviously, you got to wash it out because it's a little salty on the inside, of course. But once you do that, you have like this amazing toy that your kid's going to always feel like is brand new every time they get to it. Now, I realize there's like a very narrow slot for when this might be fun. So if your baby is like 3 months or 4 months or in that range, you forget going to the store.
Like, maybe like five. they'll play with a potato chip bag.
5 years old.
Fill it with things.
Yes.
Oh man. No, it's been so much fun. I saw it on some like blog. I forget where. It might have been like a Pinterest page where I was looking for like things to do with my baby because I'm sort of running out of things. I went into the garden yesterday and just like clipped a bunch of stuff and threw it in a pan and let my kid just like fiddle around with all the different types of textures that you can find in like plant life. But even then, that's like a good 15, 20 minute activity until he starts to get frustrated. But this potato chip bag, it's insane how much time he spent.
Have you tried the Sun Chip bag though? They are like the best. Sun Chips,
really?
Their bag is somehow different. It like is thicker. I don't know how to explain it. My kids were obsessed with the Sun Chip bags for a long time. Okay, and you're doing like all the sensory bin stuff, which I love. And you're getting like very, that truly is like, I mean, they have to be watched a little bit more to not put things in their mouth. But yeah. I mean, till like, I don't know. I think my older kids would still stick their hands in like some rice and beans and water beads and all that. Just like filling a tray. Those are such great activities.
But oh, I agree with you. I know where I found them.
The chip bag is.
It was glowbaby.com or something like that. Like this random baby forum. And you can like sort it by how old your baby is. And they kind of just throw you into different forums and group chats where people are just, they had babies around the same time. And so everybody's like kind of sharing their ideas. Really helpful for someone like me who always feels like they need to be reminded if something is normal or if something's weird. But sometimes they have some really good ideas. Other times, weird ideas that I'm not going to try. I think one parent tied balloons to like their baby's hands, and so they're like throwing their hands around. I'm not going to do that. That seems like a lot of work for a little payoff. But I will go into the garden and clip like dead plants that sound crunchier and like alive plants that have like cool textures and stuff, and even rose petals that they can kind of tear off of the rose, whatever. My kid's been having a crazy, crazy fun time with potato chips though. That's the bag.
That's awesome.
That's what he loves.
I think that's awesome.
Very cute.
Jamila, how about you?
I am recommending Blazy Susan pink cones for my fellow marijuana mamas and babas out there. They are slow burning, ultra thin, and vegan and GMO free. The last two things I don't care about at all. But they are super cool. They're pink. They're cute. I am not good at rolling cannabis at all. I suck at it. So I use cones when I don't buy pre-rolls. And I love these. And it's just so cute smoking pink joints. It's like,
do they come in that little jar?
They did. Yeah. It's like you get a jar, 50 of them.
It's a very cute, like little, like you could sit it out and someone would think it was a decoration.
Yeah. It's like the packaging is super adorable.
It's gorgeous,
that kind of like a 50 same. I like it.
That's awesome. I am recommending finding a like kids race series for your kids. The track club here in Colorado Springs offers like a little race series for kids, and they get it's from 0 until like 12 or 13. And each race, it's 4 races. It happens to be free here. When I kind of Googled it, it looks like they're available in a lot of different places, sponsored by either track clubs or an organization that's doing races. And then they hold these little kids ones. And we took our kids to our first one this weekend. Now, there were a couple parents that were like pacing their children out on the course, which I think is a little intense. But Jeff is a big runner, and I want my kids to like love to run, and having like a thing where they're all running, it just was really fun for them. So Teddy ran in a 100-yard dash, and then the next race is 200, and it was all these little kids, and it was great. And there were actually a couple big kids that were like, I would say like 11 or 12, who'd never run before, who signed up for the dash. It's not the different race distances are not based on age. You just sign your kid up for whatever. There was one for little babies, and people were holding their hands and having them walk, or parents walking them. It was very sweet.
That sounds amazing.
The older kids, though, did a half mile. Their next race will be a quarter mile and then a mile and then a mile and a quarter. So they had never really, I mean, they run, but they had never really run before. And they had like a great time. They were not good. They loved it. All the parents at this thing were cheering on every kid.
Aww.
And I think that's what I love is we got to just be around like a very diverse group of people who were all there with the exception of the two parents that paced their kids. I saw you and it's weird. Other than them, everybody else was just like you would have a kid walk by and be talking to their, you know, mom, like, oh, I was really fast. And the other parents would say, I saw you like really hustling, way to go. Do you feel good about yourself? And aww, they used the real timers like in the bibs and they turned them in for the next race. And the kids thought that was so cool because the clock was going like even for the little races. So anyway, if it's something that you're even interested in trying, I would just look and see if there's a fall race series or even just a fall kids race and let them give it a try. We had a wonderful time. The kids are like excited to train for the next one. And it was a great way to get us all out. And because it's kids, it was like an hour, like the whole thing took an hour. So a wonderful use of our weekend. Well, that's it for our show. And one last time, if you have a question, please, please email us at momanddad@slate.com. Or of course, you can post it to the Slate Parenting Facebook group. You just search for Slate Parenting. Mom and Dad Are Fighting are produced by Morgan Flannery. For Amon Ismail and Jamila Lemieux, I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. Thanks for listening.
Give me a winding trail. Give me some land to roam. A naturalist forever.